And I don't know about you, but on Easter morning, I'm glad it wasn't over when it seemed like it was over. Good morning, welcome. So glad to see you guys this morning. I got real blue for a second. I'm really glad to see you guys. Happy Easter. We're so glad you're worshiping with us. Whether you're here in person or online, welcome to Lighthouse. This morning, if you want to follow along with where we're going in the sermon, you can text the word LH Notes to 833-641-0175. We got a slide we'll throw up here in just a second with that number on it. But I love this story, the stories that it tells about how it's not over, even sometimes when it feels like it's over. You see, there's something incredibly compelling about a story with an unexpected happy ending. The stories of the underdog sports teams that hit the buzzer beater to win. Literally, some of you watched this last night as Gonzaga, who wasn't necessarily an underdog, but as Gonzaga hit a half-court, last-second three-pointer to win over UCLA. There's something about the stories that of people who have these debilitating injuries and come back. When doctors say it's over, and it's not. Ray's story, right? They thought that she was dead and they sent her home. And then she went on a vacation. Because sometimes it's not over even when it's over. We love the stories that have the twists that we didn't see coming to kind of take our breath away in a good way. Because sometimes it's not over even when it's over. Have you ever known something wasn't over even when all logic said it was? Do you have your own story of a comeback that seems impossible? See, there's something about these stories. There's something about sharing these stories that we love to do. We love to tell stories about the things that happen to us that seem almost impossible. Anybody ever have a friend that's a story topper? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Like you tell a story, you think it's a great story, but then your friend goes, oh, wait, no, well, listen what happened to me. And then sometimes their story is legitimately better than yours. I have a friend named Jordan Zimmer who has the most incredible stories I've ever heard, and I cannot top them, right? And no matter what I've done some pretty crazy things, right? I swam with elephants in Thailand, but Jordan's got one that tops it, I guarantee you. Think about this for a second. One of my favorite comedians, his name is Brian Regan, has a comedy bit where he talks about how there's a story topper that tops all stories. That's Neil Armstrong, right? It doesn't matter what party Neil Armstrong went to. If someone was like, I did this, he could walk up and go, well, you know what? I've been to the moon. I drove the lunar rover. What's a cool new Jeep that you've got out there? Does it drive on the moon? Right? But there's something about telling stories. There's something that connects us to kind of this bigger, grander thing that we sometimes don't think about. I love what Hemingway said about stories. He said, telling stories is what makes us human. Sharing our experiences. Sharing those moments when it wasn't over, even when it seemed over. There's something about sharing stories that impacts us in a big way. That's what I want to talk about this morning, because there is a big story that you are a part of, and it has a happy ending. It's the whole reason that we are here today. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. That's an epic story. It has a great ending, and it's also your story. There's something powerful about story. You see, after the crucifixion of Jesus, the chief pilots had an idea that something wasn't over. And the idea came from a story. If you have your Bibles, open them to Matthew chapter 27. In this, we're picking up the scene after the crucifixion and after the body of Jesus is taken down and taken to the tomb. And in verse 62, we see this interaction, this conversation that happens with the chief priests and Pilate. It says, the next day, that is after the day of preparation, the preparation of the body of Jesus, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, sir, we remember how that imposter, they're referring to Jesus as the imposter, spoiler, he wasn't, how that imposter said, while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first. And Pilate said to them, you have a guard. Go, make it as secure as you can. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting the guard. And it's interesting because at Easter we often talk about the stone and we talk about the guards, but guarding a tomb is not something that was necessarily common, right? You got to have something pretty extraordinary to have a guard because you're afraid of grave robbers. And so this isn't normal to have a guard outside the tomb. But did you just pick up in that story why they set the guard? It's because of a story that Jesus told. A story that had gotten back to them. A story about how it might not be over even when they thought it was over. Jesus tells this story through the Gospel of John. Look at this in John chapter 16. He says, we see this in verse 21, if I can get there. When Jesus says, from that time, right, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. Right? This is Jesus telling his disciples exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to go. The chief priests are going to call for me to be crucified, to die. And then on 3 days later, I'm going to come back to life. He tells this story, but it's not just one time, right? Look at chapter 17 in verse 22. It says, as they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day. And they were greatly distressed. Again, he's predicting his own death and resurrection. And then chapter 20, verse 17. It says, and Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, and he took the 12 disciples aside and on the way, and he said to them, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day. That's not just a generalized story. That's the specifics of the story. The chief priests, the scribes, he's not just going to be killed. He's going to be flogged and crucified. But then, oh, on the third day, he's going to be raised again. You see, in Jesus' ministry, he shared this story with those who were close to him. He told them this was going to happen. And you have the disciples who still somehow were like, well, I don't know really what you mean, Jesus. Like, you sometimes talk in parables, and I don't really understand the meaning. And Jesus is like, no, the meaning is I'm going to die. They're going to kill me. And then 3 days later, I'm going to come back to life. And they're like, that's a real head scratcher there, Jesus. Not really getting what you're saying. But something about the story got back to the chief priests and the scribes, so much so that they were so concerned that something was going to happen that they put a guard in front of the tomb of someone that was dead. You see, Jesus invited those who were closest to him to hear the story of his greatest victory even before it happened. Before Jesus rose from the dead, he told the story that he would. And I don't know about you guys, but anyone who can predict their own death and resurrection, right? That's someone that I generally pay attention to what they say. But in all of my time on this earth, I've ever really known one guy who ever did that, and it was Jesus. You see, there's some powerful, powerful truth in the resurrection story. Because the crazy thing is, at some point, that stone was rolled away. Look at this in chapter 28, starting in verse 1. It says, now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. I guess rolling back stones is kind of some like heavy work. So he's like, oh man, that was a lot of work. I'm going to take a seat right here on top of the stone. And sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here. He has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Did you catch that? He is risen, just as he said. Right? It's like, I don't know why everybody's surprised here. He said he was going to do it, and he's done it. And then the guards who are seeing this are so like terrified of what they're witnessing in the moment. They pass out. They're like, they're dead. See, Jesus rose from the dead just like he said he would. And the angel tells Mary and Mary that Jesus has risen and that the story that he told has been fulfilled. It wasn't over even when they thought it was over. The story of the guards that were stationed in the tomb doesn't really end there either. Look at this next section of scripture. In verse 11, it says, while they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place, right? We don't really know all of what the guard saw. We know at some point they probably passed out, but they saw something happen that made them so overwhelmed that they passed out. They told them all that had taken place. We know they at least saw the angel, and there's a chance they saw the risen Jesus too. In verse 12, it says, and when they had assembled with the elders in the council, and they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while he was asleep. What that tells me is that at some level, the guards testified to the resurrection. And if this comes to the governor's ear, as the chief priest, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the guards took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. The guards testified to the resurrection. The Roman guards. They weren't Jews. They weren't followers of God. But what they saw, it overwhelmed so much that they passed out. And then when they gave testimony to it, they had to be bribed to keep their mouths shut. You see, the truth of the resurrection was right in front of the chief priests, and they bribed the guards to deny it. They missed out on the fact that the resurrection was part of their story too. When searching for hope, let me tell you, you're not going to find it in the grave. When searching for hope, you're not going to find it in the inanimate. You're not going to find it in anything but a Jesus who is alive today. See, because that tomb is still empty. And Jesus is still alive. And the resurrection gives us hope that nothing we face in life can defeat our God that conquered death itself. And there were lots of people who had the opportunity to see and believe and who missed it. You see, the chief priests heard the story, but they couldn't believe it. They had to live in denial of it, because it didn't fit with what they thought their hope was supposed to be in. For them, the accomplishment was to make Jesus go away. And when he didn't go away, it became a problem. What they couldn't see is when Jesus didn't stay dead, he rose from the dead to conquer the death that they would experience too. And then when he died on the cross for their sins too. Because he loves them that much. And they missed that moment, and they missed that opportunity of hope. But you and I have that assurance that nothing we can face can defeat our God. Our God is big enough that he conquered death itself. Again, how many people do you know that have done that? I got one. Lazarus came back to life. He died again. But he couldn't do it without Jesus. The only other people I know of who haven't died, Methuselah and Elijah. And God was involved in that process too. Other than that, 10 out of 10 people I know in this world are gonna die one day. Including me, including you. And I know that may be terrifying for some of us. It's absolutely terrifying to me. But I can't have my hope secured in my physical life here. It has to be secure in the one who is so big that even when his physical life was taken away, he conquered that too. In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is writing to this church in Philippi, and he tells them this in verses 10 and 11, right? In this letter, he says this phrase, right? That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share his suffering, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. You see, Paul shares where his hope is. Paul shares exactly what he wishes for, what he hopes for, what he's leaning into. That he may share in the resurrection with Jesus. And when we are willing to walk away from a life of sin, as if that life is dead, and choose to follow Jesus, we will experience that same resurrection ourselves. I don't know what tradition you grew up in. I had an interesting phone call this week, though. Somebody called up, and they were looking for a ride to church, and they said, hey, are you guys one of those born-again groups? And I'm like, well, yes. It turns out this guy is actually in California. He's looking for a ride to church, and I told him that's probably not going to be possible. I couldn't even get to him and back to church in time this week. But he's like, are you one of those born-agains? Are you one of those ones who've been set free? And it was a really interesting conversation. He had said some really other interesting things as well that we didn't get into. I tried to connect him with a local church nearby. But he asked me on the phone, like, what does it mean that it's born again? Which in my mind, I'm going straight to a scripture where someone's telling Jesus, how can a man be born again? And there's this idea, and we say it a lot, and if you're watching online and you're new here today and you don't know kind of the church lingo that we sometimes spread around, right? It simply means this, right? When we experience and we follow Jesus, we have two ideas of what it means to be resurrected, right? And the first is this, that we live a life, or we have lived a life that has followed sin, and we choose to turn away from that life of sin, we experience this new birth, this new life, and we are born again. And we're saying that old life of sin, that is dead. And that just as Jesus is resurrected, I am spiritually resurrected. But then there's another part of that we believe too, because one day our bodies are going to be physically dead. And we know from Jesus that one day if we follow him, if we trust in him, then we get to live in the hope that one day we will physically be resurrected to and spend eternity with Jesus. There's a spiritual resurrection that we get to experience, and then there's a physical one. And if you're a follower of Jesus already, guys, it's time that we start living like we are resurrected. Because the power of the resurrection is real, and we celebrate it on Easter Sunday, but we get to walk it out every single day. Because our God loves us so much that he died for us, and he didn't let death defeat him. You see, the story of the resurrection is our story. It's a story we share with Jesus. It's a story we share as followers of Jesus. Because sometimes in life we think that it's over, and it isn't over even when we think it's over. And I don't know what your understanding of Easter is or was, But sometimes when we experience God in a real way, he has a way of realigning what that means. And I want to share a story with you this morning about how that happened for someone.
Well, I grew up. Oh, I get another opportunity to get some gifts and toys maybe and stuff like that and do Easter egg hunts. That's what Easter was to me. I'm in the small group of people who didn't grow up with Jesus but who came to know Jesus as an adult later, much later in life. One of the great things that God does, you know, turn bad situations into good for his glory. And long story short, for me, my identity was in my job. I was a deputy sheriff. That's who Jay was. That's who I am. My badge, my uniform I put on every day, my gun. That's who I identified myself as. But that ended one day, not totally by my choosing. It was probably the worst day of my life, my young life at that time, because it was, again, it was my identity. So my identity like that just got ripped away from me. And God was behind that. There's absolutely no question. My mother had already started going to church. She was younger than I am, but about 50 when she found Christ. Because of what I was going through, she invited me to church. And it was at that church in Southern California that I gave my life to Christ. Would have never happened had I not lost my job. Would have never happened. We wouldn't be sitting here right now had I not lost my job. My wife of 25 years and my two kids wouldn't have happened if I hadn't lost my job. It all happens for a reason. But it all came from that terrible day. You know, since I came to know Christ, my life has changed completely. You know, and of course, it hasn't all been roses and rainbows since, but without fail, every single time something bad has happened, it ends up being good. God closes one door I don't know when, it may be 6 days or 6 months later, but it happens over and over and over again. And I'm gonna be 57 in a few months, so I've been around long enough, enough decades. I'm not a 22-year-old, I have some life experience, so I have some time to tell you that it does. Even when stuff sucks and is going bad, I can almost guarantee you something good is, if you're paying attention, something good is going to happen. Your life will change for the better, even though what you're going through at that time sucks. Another thing I told you I was going to mention, because it's really important to me, is giving. Every time my wife and I have decided to give more, we've been financially blessed every single time. So like I said, that's not the motivation to do it, but it's just unbelievable. I've lost track of how many times every time we give more money, we somehow get financially blessed. He never disappoints, I guess is the best way I would put it. He never disappoints. God always comes through and he makes every single situation a positive, even though the time you're going through it, you can't always see it, and you won't probably, but it is. My first Easter after I gave my life to Jesus, oh my God, I'll never forget it. It was a whole different experience, let me tell you. I felt the Holy Spirit in me. It was unbelievable. I mean, because when you understand, because I didn't know anything. Oh, Jesus died on the cross. I didn't know anything. Literally, all I knew about, I mean, I knew there was this Jesus person, but I didn't know what Easter meant. I didn't know it was about the resurrection of Christ. I literally thought it was about Easter bunnies and that's it, and eggs and candy, and because my parents never taught us that. It wasn't part of our lives. So when you realize that for the first time, and especially as an adult, when you can fully appreciate it, you have an awakening. God has proven himself to me over and over and over and over and over. It's It's crazy.
God has proven himself over and over. Because sometimes it's not over even when it is over. And for Jay, he thought that it was over. Talks about it was the worst day of his life when he lost his job. But that was just the beginning. And what he thought, when he thought it was over, God had other plans. See, when the chief priests thought it was over, God had other plans. When the disciples feared it was over, God had other plans. Maybe this morning for you, you need to just hear that. You may think it's over, but God has other plans. And as believers, maybe it's time for us to start living in the resurrection every day and live like every day is Easter. And maybe you're sitting there, maybe you're watching online, and you're going, Joel, I get that, right? But I don't really even know what it means to have this be my story. Maybe you would say the resurrection's not your story, but you want it to be. I would love for that. Maybe you've never made the decision to follow Jesus, or maybe you're not even sure what that means and you just want to talk to somebody. And I would love to offer you that opportunity. We have a text line that we've got set up. If you text the word pray to this number, same number for everything, right? 833-641-0175. Somebody was going to contact you today to just have a conversation about what it means to make this story your story. What it means to live in the power of the resurrection of Jesus. And actually, you could text the word prayer. You could actually text anything. Text the word story. Text the word resurrection. It doesn't matter. We're going to get those messages. And we want to contact you today to just have a conversation about what it means to make this story your story. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're like, this is already my story. And I'm here to celebrate. Then by the joy of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you today that tomorrow the resurrection is still real. And on Tuesday, Jesus is still alive. And in next week, and in next month, and in next year, and for all of eternity, we get to live in the power of a resurrected Christ. We get to go about and interact with the world around us, knowing that nothing we face can defeat our God. And maybe there's those moments where you feel overwhelmed and you feel like it's over. But sometimes it's not over even when it's over. And if that's where you are this morning, the power of the resurrection can conquer anything you face, even if you don't see the way out of it. That doesn't mean that life's always going to be happy, that you're never going to face any troubles, that it's never going to be difficult. But the God that we worship is the same God that walked out of the tomb. And when we cast our cares and we cast our burdens upon him, he can bear those. And you're not alone. And the power of the resurrection is real. And I would encourage you to, if you need prayer in that place where you are, we have that same text line open for you. You can text the word prayer. You can text a detailed message about even what you're going through. Because we want to pray with you. And we want to let you know you're not alone. And the power of the resurrection is a power that we experience as a community of believers.